Welcome, and you're listening to episode 69 of the Mark and Russia broadcast, and I'm Mark.
In a world where truth is often elusive and hard to find, where the masses wander aimlessly, looking for something or someone to believe in. From the far north comes the help and truth that people seek. The Mark in Russia podcast is a broadcast from the belly of the bear in Chelyabinsk, Russia, and is aimed straight at your heart and soul. So strap yourself in for the ride and don't be a wussy.
Well, today I'm going to be introducing a new series on my broadcast. I'm going to add this to the other series I presently have on this. In this series, I'm going to talk a little bit about my experiences as an American living in Russia. Now, perhaps a normal person would structure this series sequentially, starting with their arrival. But I won't. No, I won't. I'm not going to follow this logical way of presenting things. Instead, I have a blog, which I rarely update anymore, but it does describe my first days in Russia in blog posts. You can find this blog at www.americaninrussia.com, no spaces. This really outlines my observations when I first came to Russia, and I made this when the observations were fresh. I don't think I can do better than that now. Well, people often ask me about how I felt when I first arrived in Russia, and honestly, I don't remember a lot. Well, I mean, I remember experiences, but not so much how I was feeling at the time. I mean, hey, listen, I'm a 55-plus-something-year-old American guy, and my generation does not get all hung up nor devote a lot of time to our feelings. I've got air quotes going here. From our feelings from many years ago. About 5 years ago, my oldest son was coming to visit me in Russia. Well, actually, I mean, the first purpose of his trip was to have an international business trip, which he needed in order to finish his MBA in finance. Because he was coming here, I needed to think back to my original arrival in order to understand the things that would seem quite strange and maybe difficult for him to deal with. All right, well, first of all, he was arriving in Moscow's Domodedovo airport. I actually had him fly into Domodedovo because at that time it was the only normal airport probably in all of Russia. And since then, one of the other large airports in Russia called Sheremetyevo has improved, rebuilt. It's a great airport now. I prefer it much to JFK. And there's even a third one that I've never flown in or out of, but I understand is also very good, called Vnukovo. But anyhow, we're talking back about 5 years ago. Domodedovo was pretty much it, if you wanted a normal airport. So I also had him fly into Domodedovo because flights from Domodedovo to Chelyabinsk, where I live, There is an airline called S7 that flies from Domodedovo to Chelyabinsk. Well, this is an alternative to Aeroflot and some other airlines. At that time, 5 years ago, they were the only airline that flew really Boeings or Airbus aircraft on this route. Aeroflot was still flying the Tupolev 134s and Tupolev 154s, which... they're pretty old, so they must work all right to last this long, but they're also a little bit scary, and inside, they are not a comfortable plane at all. You should go, again, to that www.americaninrussia.com, and I cover my views and impressions of the Tupolev. So I wanted him to fly in on a Boeing, no sense getting all scared before you even get to your destination. So I went to meet him at the airport, and there were two planes from two different locations landing just minutes apart. The first plane landed, I could clearly see from the tail. That's all I could really see when I looked out the window because there were other planes blocking the view. I could see from the tail that it was a Tupolev. So I knew my son wasn't there yet. So I'm in the area waiting for him to arrive, and they announce the second plane is about to land, and as I'm waiting for it to land, suddenly I see my son. So apparently they switched planes for some reason. He flew in on a Tupolev 134, I believe. Not the best airplane, not the best introduction to aviation in Russia, but he was undaunted and not scared yet. Well, I thought it was really cool that he flew to Chelyabinsk because any time with any of my kids or family, if I want to see them, I always have to fly to the United States. So it was very cool just driving to the Chelyabinsk airport and picking him up. And what did I pick him up in? I picked him up in a Devyatka. Now, my Russian listeners will know what this car is. For my non-Russian listeners, it's a Lada. And it's very Russian-looking little car. Not the most Russian-looking car, but still very Russian-looking and very basic. Like if a child drew a picture of a car, a very young child, they would in fact draw maybe the Devyatka, if they decided to draw a, quote, sports car, a common car, they would just draw the Zhiguli, another Russian model. But even this car didn't scare him off because I'd sent him pictures before of the car, you know, just documenting some of my life in Russia in pictures. Now, I want to talk a little bit. When I had to think back to things that kind of scared me when I first got here, the one that scared, there are many different things that really had me wondering whether I was doing the right thing coming to Russia. But I think the first experience I had where I seriously questioned things was when I arrived at the apartment where I'd be living at that time and went in through the door, and I entered into a hitherto unknown world to Westerners, and it's called a, and I'm sorry about my pronunciation, my Russian listeners, but it's called a podyezd. Podyezd would be like loosely translated entryway. An apartment building in Russia is set up differently than in the West. There's a main door, you open it up, you go upstairs to a landing, then to your first floor, and there are doors right off of that area. There's no like long corridors leading down with doors off the corridor. And this area where you go up and up and up is called the podyezd. Well, it doesn't sound scary so far, but let me tell you something. It is scary in the respect it looks like a crime scene just seconds before the crime happened, and you might be the victim. I mean, we're talking just total concrete and usually quite old and crumbly looking concrete. I mean, the walls, the ceilings, the stairs, unadorned by any type of tile or carpeting, any of these niceties, which after a while living here, you'll understand why it's unadorned, but it gives a really, really poor impression, piss poor impression to a person visiting a Russian apartment for the first time. Anyhow, it's rather dark because there always seems to be lights that are out. I mean, it's like I haven't been in some horrible building complexes in the Bronx, but it reminds me of what they would look like inside. I'm in our second apartment. We owned a smaller apartment before we moved into the one we're presently living in. And the one we lived in was in the two most common style apartment buildings in Russia. And for you Westerners, in Russia, most people own the apartments where they live. Don't think of it exactly like a condominium. It's not, but it's more or less like a cooperative, you know, cooperative with a bunch of people at the top stealing the money of the cooperative, but nevertheless cooperative. The most two common styles of older ones, which most of these are five-story buildings which do not have an elevator. And those are probably about 40 years old on average, 40 to maybe 50 almost years old. And then there are nine-story buildings, which are slightly newer, but we're still talking 30 years old. So neither of them would be really described as new. Now, when my son came to visit, we were living in a five-story apartment complex. That's where our apartment was. And, you know, our entryway, or podiest, was not really all that horrible. It had been freshly painted, so at least the walls were brightly colored. You know, it wasn't all that... don't get me wrong. It wasn't that it wasn't scary at all. It just wasn't so bad as others that I've been in. So I thought, okay, well, it's not terrible. Well, about 3 days rather, before my son arrived, I was coming down the stairs and a really unpleasant, crappy smelling odor hit my nose. It was like walking into a wall of smell. And what had happened is down the basement of our podiest, one of the septic lines had broken or was leaking. And for my Russian listeners, septic line would be like kanalizatsiya. So it smelt like crap, literally. And that odor came from the basement and went up about three stories almost in that entryway. It's pretty horrible. But here's the sad thing, is that you know here nothing is going to get fixed very quickly. And it's kind of like when you walk into a monkey house, all right? When you walk into the monkey house, man, that smell just hits you the same way, like you walked into a wall of smell. 5 minutes later, you're laughing and looking at all the monkeys. You're spending all kinds of time in there because you don't smell it anymore. It's still present, but you don't smell it. Same thing with broken sewer pipe, I guess. I mean, it didn't smell in my apartment at all. But anyhow, I thought, oh man, this is just perfect timing. He's going to arrive and it's going to stink. That's the first impression when you open the door. So here was my plan. I drove him back from the airport. I had him sit, well, doesn't matter. He just was in the Devyatka with me. When we got to the apartment, I said, okay, this is what we've got to do. You give me your big bag and you just use your backpack. He said, well, Dad, I'll take the big bag. It's not a problem. I said, no, trust me on this one. You got to listen to me. I said, now, I walked him up to the front door. And I said, now, here, I'm going to open the door. Just before I open the door, I want you to take a deep, deep breath and hold your breath. As soon as the door opens, you run up the stairs and don't breathe until you hit about the third floor. And he said, well, what are you talking about? I said, trust me. And he said, well, what about you? I said, don't worry. I live here. I'm used to it. I'll survive, you know. So that's what we did, and he made it up to the third floor, gasping and sucking in non-crap-smelling air at that point. I breathed in the other stuff all the way up. Like I said, I was used to it. Now, here's the magic of the podiest. The magic of the podiest is they're so horrible, as a rule, that once you get to the door and you open the door to the person's apartment, even if there's nothing special about the apartment, it looks like a frigging wonderland compared to the podiest. Really. And if the inside of the apartment is nice, oh my God, just the contrast alone is just simply amazing. And it'll make any place look nicer than it really is, because we're doing a comparison here. I'm serious about that. Now, I mentioned once you open the door, here's another thing that will strike a Westerner. The door leading into a Russian apartment is like, you know, it's made of steel with all these bars that go into the wall at the top, on the sides, on the bottom, like a bank vault. And that's not all. It's usually not just one lock. There's usually like two other locks that are thrown on for added security. Now, there was a movie made, quite a few years ago, and it was called Conspiracy Theory, starred Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts. In that one, Mel Gibson, he was so afraid of everything, and he was a conspiracy theorist, that his door had like three locks on it. And for an American, when we watch this film, that part seems so funny. You know, we would laugh. And I'm afraid at that same time, if Russians were watching it, that they wouldn't get the humor in the situation. Anyhow, I digress. That's a little bit about, there's a lot more I could go into about my son's first trip here, and I intend on covering a lot of other stories also of my observations here, and I hope to incorporate a little bit of humor into them also. But hey, you have to start somewhere. Every journey starts with a single step, and my single step is this: the story of my podcast. I think I'm saying that right, actually. That's pretty cool. You know, let's take a short little joke break here for a second, and I'll meet you back on the other side. Okay, an English guy was very ill, and his son went to visit him in the hospital. Suddenly, the father began to breathe heavily and grabbed the pen and pad by his bed. With his last ounce of strength, he wrote a note, dropped it, and he died. The son was so overcome with grief that he didn't remember slipping the note into his pocket. At the funeral, he reached into the pocket of his coat and immediately felt the note. He excitedly read it, thinking it might be something he could recite during the service. The note said, "You wanker, get off my oxygen tube." In a fancy Paris restaurant, there is a magical wish-granting mirror, but it only grants wishes if you tell the truth. If you lie, you disappear. One day, a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead enter the restaurant and decide to try out the mirror. The brunette goes first. "I think I'm the smartest woman on earth." Poof, she disappears. Yo, the redhead goes up to try. "I think I'm the prettiest woman on earth." Poof, she also disappears. Now the blonde goes up. "I think, poof." Well, we're back again. Thanks for listening to my broadcast today. Since it is a new series, I'd really appreciate hearing from you in the comments section of my website. And my website is www.markinrussia.com. Yeah, don't mess it up with that American in Russia. That's just an old blog. My current podcasting site is www.markinrussia.com. When I create a new series, I have no idea of whether my listeners like it or not, or if I should even continue it. Unless I get feedback from you, I really don't know. So, please, I hope that you'll listen next time. But until then, goodbye.